This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hi, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. I'm glad you could join us for today's program. What I want to talk about today is hope. Now, when you look at the world today and you see war, you see crime, you see disease, you see all kinds of things in the world where the people who are suffering and going through these things need hope. There is a need for hope in this world. And when you think of the word hope, many times we think we understand hope and we know what the word means. But I want to investigate this word from the biblical perspective today. I want to look at what we should be hoping in, how we can sustain hope, because sometimes when we have hope, things go bad and then we lose hope. I want to see how we can sustain that hope, keep it going. And I also want to see, as a Christian, what do Christians hope for? Now, along the way, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking also at positive belief. We're going to be looking at optimism and see how those play a part in understanding this concept of hope that we're looking at today. So let's begin by going to the dictionary and getting some definitions of this word hope so we can have a better understanding of what we're talking about, and then that will help us understand things a little bit clearer as we start to look at Scripture. Now, there are numerous definitions of hope in various dictionaries. Let me just give you a few of them. Hope is a confident expectation. Hope is a firm assurance regarding things that are unclear or unsure. Hope is also to cherish a desire with anticipation. Hope can also be defined as a desire with the expectation of obtainment. Hope is also to expect something with confidence, and hope can also be defined as trust or reliance. Now, when I think about these definitions of hope, recently I was watching the NBA basketball finals. And the interesting thing about the finals in 2013 was that each team was winning one game at a time until the final two games. And they interviewed some of the winning players at the end of each game. And when they interviewed them, they were very hopeful for their success in the next game because they had just won the previous game. And that's the tendency that many of us have. When something good is happening, we're very hopeful of what's to come next. But as you went to the next game and you looked at the bench of the team that was losing, and you saw the team that lost, you saw that they did not seem hopeful anymore. So all of a sudden, that hope had evaporated just from one game to the next. And we want to guard against that, and I want to maybe give you some ideas of how we can guard against losing that hope. Because the Scripture has a lot to say about hope. And point number one that we're going to address today is, what should we be hoping in? Like I said, these ball players were hoping in their own ability and their own talent and what had just happened. But sometimes that doesn't work out for you. We want to hope in something that never lets us down. The second thing, again, we're going to address today is how to keep and maintain that hope. Because everybody loses hope at some time in life. And does the Bible have an answer on how we can maintain hope in our life? I believe it does. The third thing, again, we're going to look at is, what should we be hoping for? You know, the Bible says we should be hopeful and we should be hoping and we should be positive and looking forward to something. But what is that something we should be looking forward to? So we're going to look at these questions as we go further on today's program. But right now, what I'd like to do is I'd like to offer you some free CDs today. The CDs that we're offering on today's program are titled Hope of the Resurrection and Hope, the vigor of life. Now, as I talked to you a little bit earlier about what should we be hoping for as Christians, it is the resurrection from the dead. And I'd like you to get this CD so you can learn more about this subject, because I will not be able to deal with it as completely as this CD will. Get hope of the resurrection. Also, I want you to get hope, the vigor of life. Hope can be a great thing. It can make you enthusiastic. It can make you optimistic. It can make you keep going. Get hope, the vigor of life, to learn more about this subject. To get both of these items free of charge, all you need to do is call 1-888-578-8791. Again, that's 1-888-578-8791. You can also order by going to our website, www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. You can also go to our website to learn about our weekly webcast sermon. Please go to www.cgi.org. Thanks for joining us on today's program, those of you who are just tuning in. And those of you that have been with us from the top of the show, you're aware that we're looking at the subject of hope today. And we talked a little bit about the definition of hope, that it's a confident expectation, it's trust, it's reliance. And when we look at hope, we want to understand hope from the standpoint of what should we be hoping in, or who should we be hoping in? We talked a little bit about the NBA Finals and how the players were very hopeful based upon their abilities in each previous game and how they were going to do in the next game. But when we look at humanity, a lot of us humans are hopeful in each other. Many of us, when we're children, are hopeful in our father or hopeful in our mother. Those of us, when we become adults, some of us become hopeful in the president or a prime minister or a congressman or senator or some politician that we think can change things. Others of us are hopeful in athletes. Others of us are hopeful in personalities like actors or actresses. But when you look at all these humans, folks, they all fail at one point or another. The politician turns out to not be having all the answers that we thought they could have. And what are we left with? We're left with not being so hopeful during the next election round, as we've seen over and over in various elections in this country. But I'm here to tell you that we can be hopeful in someone who is not going to let us down, who's always going to be there for us and can sustain us through trying times. And that person is God. It's Jesus Christ. And your Bible tells you to be hopeful in God. Let me show you a couple scriptures that bear this out. In the Psalms, the book of Psalms, we're going to go to Psalm 39 and verse 7. Listen to what it says here, Psalm 39 and verse 7. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. Another psalm that talks about this is Psalm 71 and verse 5. Let's take a look at what the writer there says. Psalm 71, 5. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. Now, many of the Psalms were written by David, and I believe he wrote Psalm 71. And indications of that are the fact that he was hoping in God from his youth. We know when David was a youth, he had a great faith in God. God allowed him to defeat the giant Goliath. Now, if you were a young man going into battle against this giant who had been beating all your men up, you might be a little bit scared of going against this guy. But David had this hope, and he got that hope from God, and he was able to overcome because of his faithfulness to God. So the one question we wanted to deal with today was, who should we have a hope in? And that hope should be in God. Now, just to prove this point, we talked about the fact that as humans, we sometimes hope in each other. I want to show you a scripture in Luke that I find very apropos for this discussion that we're having today. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 37, It says this. It says, "For with God nothing will be impossible." With God nothing will be impossible. And when you come to understand more about God, this particular scripture is going to make a lot more sense to you. It may not make much sense to you right now if you don't understand this book very well, but it says nothing is impossible with God. That's the person we want to be hopeful in. Now, another thing that I'd like to address on today's program is that second question that I talked about at the top of the hour. And what that second question was is, how do we remain hopeful? Now, that's a big problem for many of us. Many of us will lose our hope when things don't go good, when things don't go right. And I want to show you that the answer to that is in the pages of your Bible. I'd like to turn back to the Psalms once again. And I'm going to pick it up in the longest psalm, and that's Psalm 119. And in Psalm 119, I'm going to look at three specific verses there. I'm going to begin over in verse 49 of Psalm 119. And we're trying to figure out, how can we sustain our hope? Psalm 119 in verse 49 says this, "Remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope." So, does the Word of God help sustain our hope? Well, it does, at least from what he's saying here, but how does it do that? I'm going to get to that in a minute, but let's look at this a little bit further. Notice this same chapter, Psalm 119 and verse 74. "Those who fear you will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in your Word." Now, how could he hope in God's Word? Well, I'm going to get to that. Hold on. I want to show you one more verse here. Let's take a look at verse 81 of the same chapter. "My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word." Now, how does the word of God help sustain our hope? How does it keep us going? Well, let's think of some of the prophets for a moment. And let me go specifically to the prophet Daniel as an example. Now, I've studied the book of Daniel very thoroughly. And when you study the book of Daniel, you will find, when you look at the commentators, there are some liberal commentators on Daniel, and there are some conservative commentators on Daniel. The conservatives believe that the book of Daniel was written during the Babylonian captivity. Now, if that's true, which I believe it is, then what that's saying when you look at Daniel's prophecies is he prophesied about kingdoms that were going to come on the earth after the Babylonian kingdom, the Medo-Persian kingdom, the Greco-Macedonian kingdom, and the Roman kingdom. He wrote about these kingdoms before they were on the earth. Now, if you believe that, as I do, that makes you understand something, that there is a supernatural God who gave this information to Daniel so he could write it down. Now, there are some who disagree with that, but I'm here to tell you, do the research yourself. I can't prove this to you. Do the research. Look at what the liberal theologians say about Daniel and why they believe it was written later. Then look at what the conservative scholars are saying about Daniel and why they believe it was written before these kingdoms came on the earth. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, doing that research, that it will become very apparent to you that the conservative scholars have it over the liberal scholars. So when I go to God's Word and I see things like fulfilled prophecy, it blows my mind. It makes me understand that, yes, there is a God out there who has given this information to his servants, and they've put it down into this book we call the Bible. Another thing that I get from the Bible that helps sustain my hope is the fact that you can overcome death. Now, here's the deal, folks. Jim Morrison said it. No one here gets out alive, and he was right. No one here gets out alive. We are all going to die. No matter how many toys you have in life, how many cars, how many houses, the fact remains, you're gonna die. You're gonna lose those houses. You're gonna lose those cars. You're gonna lose your health. You're gonna lose your youth. And when that goes away and you reach death, what do you got left? If this isn't true, what is there? But the Bible says there is something. It's called a resurrection from the dead. You can have eternal life. That's the ultimate thing, folks. And the Bible tells you all about that subject. That keeps me hopeful no matter what's happening in my life. There are times when things are not going well in my life. And you have those moments when you're a little bit down. But I get right back up off the ground because I believe what this is telling me about that hope for the future. Not just a hope for me, but a hope for all of humankind. That information is here, and it will blow your mind when you begin to understand that truth. So answering question number two, how can we sustain our hope? It's in the pages of the Bible, what the Bible tells us about life, what's going to happen, what has happened before, and what is going to happen in the future. These types of things can keep you hopeful for that future in overcoming the death that is all awaiting us. Now, as we move forward here, I want to talk a little bit about the power of positive thinking. The power of positive thinking and how it relates to this whole subject of hope that we're discussing. Because regardless of whether you're a religious person or not, and I know some of you watching me today might not be into religion at all, and that's okay. Because you still have the capability for hope and optimism, and those things can help you in trying times. Now, when you put that hope and optimism together with God's Spirit, amazing things can begin to happen in your life. And I want to talk a little bit about this right now and understanding this concept of hope. And I want to do this by telling you a little story. And this has to do with a swimmer at the 1988 Olympics. Now, the 1988 Olympics were in Seoul, South Korea. And Matt Biondi was one of the big U.S. swimmers that year. And they were talking about Matt Biondi before the Olympic Games like he was going to win 7 gold medals. Now, up to that time, no swimmer had accomplished this except Mark Spitz at the 1972 Olympics in Munich, Germany. Now, there was this great buildup about Biondi and his capability going into the 88 Olympics. And what happened in his first event, he came in third. In his second event, he came in second. So he had 5 events remaining, and some of the media were starting to look at him and saying that he was a flop, that he was not going to accomplish anything that they believed he was going to accomplish before the Olympic Games began. Now, with that type of media scrutiny, you may think that that would have affected Matt Biondi. But Matt Biondi was a little bit different, folks. He had a positive outlook and an optimism on life. And I want to tell you a little bit more of the story. Biondi ended up winning 5 gold medals after he came in third and second. The next 5 events, he won gold. But here's the rest of the story about Matt Biondi. Prior to the Olympic Games, Biondi and some other swimmers had been working with a psychologist at the University of Pennsylvania named Martin Seligman. And Seligman was trying to look at what makes people accomplish great things. How do people do the things that they do in life? What motivates them? What keeps them going? What helps them overcome things that will stop them? And he was testing these swimmers by making them swim in a race and then giving them their time. So they couldn't see the times flashed up on a big board like you can at the Olympics. So after the races would end, Seligman would tell them, okay, this is the time you got. And he would lie to them. Now, I don't suggest lying to people, but in this experiment, he lied to them about the times that they were getting. And he was telling them that they were not getting good times. So they were getting times that they thought they should be doing better than. Now, he told various swimmers this, and he told Biondi, you know, your time was not very good. This is the time you got. So he wanted to see what would happen in the next race that these swimmers had after getting the news that was not so good. Now, interestingly enough, in Biondi's next race, he did better than he did the first race, which was a good time. So by getting this bad news, it had no effect on Biondi and his motivation and his ability for the next race. But there were a number of swimmers who, once they got the bad news, they actually performed even worse than what their normal times would be in the next race. So what he was seeing here was that there was a power here in people seeing something and seeing something bad and keeping that bad going, where others could see the bad and be motivated by the bad to do even better. Now, Seligman, in looking at this, here's what he said about it. He said that the research suggests that what's missing in testing people in abilities is their motivation. Their motivation is what is important in looking at how well people perform sometimes, not just their ability. Their ability is important, of course, but all things being equal, if some are motivated like Biondi and others get downcast when they get bad news, that can make all the difference. Now, when I thought about that, motivation, listen to what else Seligman says here. He says it's not just your talent, but it's your capacity to stand defeat that sometimes makes all the difference in how we perform or how our outlook is on life. Our capacity to stand defeat. Now, that struck me as a reader of the Bible, because the Bible says that God is going to chastise those he loves. And chastisement means he's going to make you feel some pain sometimes. Things aren't always going to go the way you want them to go. Things aren't always going to go perfectly. But the Bible tells us that through that imperfection, through that trouble, we get stronger and we grow. And I believe Biondi was pushed even further by learning that he wasn't doing as well. Look at what it says in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Listen to this. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, getting that bad time. We glory in it. Why? Because, this is why, in knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Character produces hope. So when you're tried, when you go through things, folks, you realize that you can do it. You can overcome, and that sustains your hope. That gives you more hope to do better in the future. And it says here in verse 5, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So not only can you have hope with good thoughts if you don't believe in God, but when you do come to a belief in God and God gives you His Holy Spirit, that enhances this hope that you have. And here's part of the reason why, to answer my last question for today, what are we hoping for? Look, if you would, in your Bibles to Titus. I'm going to turn to the book of Titus, and it's a very small book in your Bible, and I'm going to pick it up there in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God who cannot lie, unlike the psychologist, which God who cannot lie promised before time began. God has made a promise to us that if we follow Him, we can have the hope of eternal life. That can sustain us through anything, folks, because it will sustain you even through death. Look at what it says over in Proverbs 14 and verse 32. As our last scripture for the day, Proverbs 14 and verse 32, it says this, the wicked is banished in his wickedness, but the righteous has a refuge in his death. How can we have a refuge in death? The Bible talks about death as being the cessation of life. You sleep in death. Here's why we can have a refuge in death. Because no matter when you die, if you are of the righteous, if you believe in Jesus Christ and you're following Him and you receive His Holy Spirit, what happens after you die when the second coming occurs, ladies and gentlemen, is you are resurrected from the dead. You come back to life. You overcome death. And don't we all want to overcome death? I believe that we do. and we can do it. The pages of your Bible bear that out. I hope that I've given you some hope today. Please be hopeful. Join us again for another edition of the Armor of God. Bye for now.
We have some very exciting news. The Armor of God will be increasing its presence throughout the World Wide Web. Recently, after intensely reviewing some of our television networks and comparing that to the potential of the Internet, including WebNet television networks, it was determined the Armor of God's message, on behalf of the Church of God International, could affect and be heard by a much broader audience over the World Wide Web. Since our objective of witnessing and warning a very troubled world with the gospel is vital to our ministry's purpose, we decided to cancel the Word Network and devote our efforts to the development and growth designed to broaden our exposure and service on the World Wide Web. So commencing in September of this year, 2013, look for us on various media, including youtube.com/CGI Digital Network or Armor of God TV or Apple TV, Google TV, Roku, and you can also visit us on our website at cgi.org and hit us up on our internet location, info@cgi.org. And don't forget the social mediums such as Facebook, Twitter, and our very brand new newsletter, Armor of God email. This move has nothing to do with our international television networks, so our international television networks outside of the United States will remain the same. Those of you without access to the Internet can receive the Armor of God program on DVD to your home simply by calling us at 1-903-939-2929 during normal working hours, Monday through Friday, Central Time, USA. My friends, on behalf of all the Armor of God commentators, Mike James, Tony Booker, Bill Watson, and myself, Bronson James, we want to thank you for allowing us over so many years to explore God's Word and share with you the good news of Jesus Christ, addressing the solutions of mankind's challenges here on the Word Network. But by no means are we saying goodbye. Instead, we hope to see you on the World Wide Web, because that's where we'll be. Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.